Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. We're here this week with another one of our by-election candidates. This time it is John Marcus, you can see his name here, running in the Oxford riding in Ontario. So, John, thanks for joining us today for CHP Talks, and thanks for being the Christian Heritage Party candidate for Oxford. We're here today. We happen to be together in the riding because we had a Challenging the Culture conference today right in the little town of Ingersoll, Ontario. A wonderful conference today. We heard from some great speakers, and it happened to be the same riding where
the election is.
Yeah, John is running. So John, first tell us a little bit about yourself. You've lived in this area for some time?
We've lived in this area, my wife and I have lived in this area since I came in 67, and we got married in 72 and started agricultural farming on our own in the year 1978. And the rest is sort of history. We do have at the present time three children locally involved in agriculture, and I have a daughter in the States who's also married to her husband and into property management, and she's a nurse. My other daughter, she's a teacher. And so altogether, we are a close-knit family with four children, 15 grandchildren, and one gone home to glory due to a mishap. We are a family that has had our struggles and trials and tribulations, but that is usually the result of God's love to us to mold and to shape us where He needs us to be.
Wonderful. And so what do you farm in this area? What do you grow?
As a family, we farm together. All the farms are owned independently. However, we work together with custom rates. And as a family, we're involved in dairy, hogs, beef. We do custom work, and we run cash crop. The reality is that we pay each other for services rendered. And that was something my father instilled in us. There was no farm big enough for two brothers, and if it was big enough for two brothers, it was never big enough for two wives. And if it was big enough for two brothers and two wives, it would never be big enough for its offspring. And so he laid the foundation of paying for each other's services, and we work together as a family. So if there is a dispute, it will never be about money. And so in reality, my mother taught us forgiveness. It wasn't a good day if we didn't forgive each other from the heart, and she would remind us later if it was true or not, because otherwise God couldn't forgive us. The second principle in our farm family is independent ownership, and the third principle is you pay for each other's services. And I've been told by some people that our family arrangement of nine individuals is a very unique arrangement. However, it was started by my father based on the biblical principle in the Old Testament that a farm was only designed to be owned by one woman and one man and their offspring. The Bible never talks about corporate families working together in a big corporation, because you lose your independence. In God's economy, the independence belongs to the mother and the wife, which is the first form of governance in society.
Yeah. Oh, very good. So, John, you've taken on the role of candidate for the Christian Heritage Party in Oxford, and I know you're off to a good start. You've got some signs made, you've got brochures being printed, and you've done some interactions already with members in the community. I'm sure you're well known in the community. So what are the kind of principles? Well, I know what your principles are, but maybe tell the folks listening what your principles are in terms of the major issues that a member of parliament might be addressing in this by-election.
I came to the conclusion after some sober thought that if I wanted to vote with a clear conscience before God, I'd have to vote CHP after the mess that happened in Oxford County. Things were done there that were very unprofessional and very self-centered. So the heart of my calling is, as I said earlier today, number one, I want to represent people in Oxford as a local, well-known in the farm community, work for many different people. But the prime motivator was so that people that are deeply troubled with the affairs that happen in Oxford County, whether it's the woke movement, transgender, or the manipulating of a major party, that these folks could vote with a clear conscience before God before they went to sleep and still do their civic duty.
Very good. So, and the corruption that you're referring to, the mess up was, I'm going to be specific, was the Conservative Party eliminating a pro-life potential candidate from the running. Is that what you're talking about? When Garrett Van Dorlen was excluded from those who wanted to seek the nomination?
I would say that it maybe had a small role in it, and maybe it had a large role on it. But I think the worst thing is Oxford County GOP in agriculture is equal to the three Atlantic provinces, which is a reflection of the progressiveness of Oxford County agriculture. On top of that, agriculture is very important in Oxford County, but on top of that, we also have two large auto manufacturers that have placed a plant here. And the reason why they chose Oxford County was because of its work ethics. And the reality is, I feel, yes, there is the pro-life side of it, but there's another side to this whole issue also, that a party chose to bypass Oxford's leadership and parachute in another candidate, which is an insult to the integrity of the citizens of Oxford County, right, who have demonstrated responsibility and integrity. And I think many people are quite upset about that. Surely there must have been good leaders in Oxford, because if there weren't good leaders in Oxford, Oxford wouldn't be what Oxford is.
Right. So the Conservative Party inner circle injected a candidate here. It wasn't a candidate chosen by the nomination process.
I would suggest to you, based on the word in the street, the major headquarters in Ottawa of the Conservative Party overruled the local Conservative Party, and the proof of the pudding of that is somewhat that two people in the executive of Oxford Conservative Party immediately resigned upon the announcement of ARPAN being parachuted in.
Right, okay. Well, and of course, parachuting in itself is legitimate. Justin Trudeau, Elizabeth May, Jagmeet Singh, I think all won their seats in ridings where they didn't live. But if they're being put in there by the party elite in opposition to local leadership, it indicates a real problem between, a problem of integrity with
the party. Well, I think, Ron, the real issue here is, when you look at it very carefully and objectively, the real issue here is that when you parachute in a candidate, and I don't care which party does it and wherever it occurs, the reality is this parachute candidate has no feeling of what the population in that particular riding feels. You got to live in that county to know what lives in that particular riding. Mm-hmm. And secondly, when you think of it very carefully, it's an insult to the local residents for a self-serving interest of a party. And so this parachuted candidate may not even know the work ethic, may not know the dynamics of that county. And so our system is based on representation from the people in a particular riding. And when party leaders decide to ignore that for whatever reason, that in itself is problematic.
All right. So what are the major issues that you will address when you're interacting with the man on the street here, or the farmer in the field? It's a very busy time of year. I know you yourself are very busy as a farmer, as well as now with the by-election being on. But what do you think that people of this county, aside from the corruption or the scandal that you're referring to, what are the other issues that will drive voter decision making in this riding?
The real reason I'm running is to combat the new woke generation, and I think I can do that extremely effective using Romans 1, you will know me by watching the creation. And I intend to deal with that very effectively using agricultural examples, which cannot be disputed. On the abortion issue is probably the number one reason why I'm running there, because we're the only party left that has complete pro-life. All of them have none or a resemblance of it. The power of life is more powerful than the power of death.
Hmm. So, and you referred to the woke generation and the woke movement, I guess, it crosses generations, but and having to do with the transgender issues and what's going on in the schools. Can you want to comment on that at all?
The woke generation of agriculture was to adopt the woke agenda. All the farms would end up for sale with no buyers because we'd all go bankrupt. It's that simple. The transgender movement is actually, my heart goes out to them because they do not quite understand what's driving this thing. The reality of the whole transgender movement is this. Every time a young person touches his device, the carrier receives X number of dollars from the advertising companies, so they fill up their coffers by you pushing the button. Number two, what they don't realize that the whole medical community, whether it's a psychiatrist, whether it's the doctor, whether it's the medicine man, they are all making money. As a matter of fact, last year in the US, it was a $3 billion industry. When you examine exactly what is going on there, these people are being manipulated and brainwashed, and the other people are filling up their coffers and becoming wealthy, while the victim and the scars that may come down the road in 20 years, they really don't care about. They have filled up their money, and somehow we have to, my heart goes out to these people because they're being manipulated and everybody's making money off of them, even though they think it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking about gender mutilation and that type of thing.
It's all, every time these people make a move of some description, matter of fact, there's a country right now that has determined in Europe that there's 68 gender, and that's actually my home country, Holland, and you're allowed to change your gender every once a year by legislative law. So basically, it's a money machine that is gobbling up people's integrity, and victims end up with the scars for life that cannot be fixed. But who cares? There's nothing new under the world. When the devil comes along, he has no care or want about the person. It's all about who is in control, and it's about me filling up my personal coffers.
Right. Yeah, and certainly the mutilation of the bodies of young boys and girls is a tragedy, and as you say, it can't be fixed. They become sterile and cannot go back, and so there's going to be a lot of tragedy. Well, the suicide rate is apparently 19 times as high for those who have done these surgical mutilations, so-called transgender surgery.
So I want to interject here a minute. Yeah. That's why it's so important with CHC's policy, we start building up our families again, because a lot of these, if you trace them back, they come from single parents or parents that haven't raised their children properly. This did not happen in a vacuum. This happened because of parental, what you see in spades in this whole thing is the first governance of parental authority either wasn't executed in their homes, or it wasn't there because of single parents, and these kids did whatever they thought was right in their own eyes when they were too young to make an affirmative decision that may have lifelong consequences.
Sure, absolutely. So for farmers in the area, what kind of things are you, will you be talking about farmers? Farmers have their own set of, and it depends what kind of farm you're in, the challenges of producing crops and making a living. What kind of things will you be talking about to farmers in terms of federal policies?
Well, I have the unique experience of 30 years ago being president of Christian Farmers of Ontario, while I interwove with finance ministers and agriculture ministers and senior bureaucrats, both federally and provincially. I've been out of that circle for quite some time, but I did learn how the world sort of worked. And CHP is going to has an agricultural policy, but where I see promotion, if I was to go to Ottawa, is two things. I would keep promoting crop insurance. I would keep promoting the AgriInvest, because that's almost a biblical concept. I would also support supply management wholeheartedly, even though we are in 5 or 6 different other forms of agriculture, because it's been proven that those three programs are the backbone of prosperous rural economies. And when you take them away, the rural economy tends to become ghost towns. So we have to look at the bigger picture here. We have one federal party, that says we have to do supply management. I don't think he's done all the number crunching of the benefits. And I think I was in Florida a little while ago, and it was $11, our money, for a little sundae that I could buy for $6 at our local Dairy Queen. So yeah. Supply management is not gouging the customer. Yeah. Supply management is a huge tool for rural economic prosperity, along with the other two programs that do not have supply management. So we're in all those groups, and when you manage them equally, we have noticed in our farm, there isn't that much difference in unit per income, because one has the offset of the crop insurance and AgriInvest, and the other one has the offset of the constant supply of a known commodity reward.
Well, I have been told by good friends in the dairy industry, and they're not all super rich, as some people like to imply. I have been told by friends in the dairy industry that if the supply management was taken away, a lot of Canada's dairy farms would go broke, and they would not be able to survive. And may have some things that need to be fixed, but I support the supply management as it exists, and hopefully, if there's improvements to be made, we should make those improvements. But we need Canada's farmers to survive and to continue to produce food. If we lose our own food production in this country, we're going to be in trouble.
That's also true, but we also have another side to Canada, because 50% of our products get exported, which means we have to have a high quality product, and that's where supply management is a little bit weak, but we have enough on the other side to make that work. And so we have to have a balanced approach. And if I was to end up in Ottawa, my primary focus would be, because our present ideology in our governments, whether all three parties are, I'm not sure, exactly the same on this thing, but the overall ideology is that we have to cut our carbon footprint. Well, I'm going to suggest to you, you don't have to tell farmers how to cut carbon footprint, because it's the mode of our survival. As a matter of fact, if you look at it very carefully and objectively, in my lifetime, which is from 1950, I was born, my lifetime, agriculture production has gone from 40 bushel to 200 bushel, from 1 kilogram to 5 acres to 1 kilogram per acre. As a matter of fact, we have fivefold our production, which allows the consumer to have 31 days to pay his bill. Well, it seems to be the federal government says we have to work till the end of June to get our money. So if agriculture was as ineffective as the government, half of our wages would go to food. Having said that, there's another side to all of this, that if the auto industry in its gasoline engine, which used to run 50 years ago about 1 liter for every 5 kilometers, would have gone from 1 liter to 25 kilometers, we wouldn't even have a carbon footprint problem if they had done what agriculture has done.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. So you have some events coming up on May 31st. You have some event. Where is that taking place?
We have an event in Norwich on May 31, which is basically more or less the broader church community. However, the one I'm looking forward to most is the following night, which is the Federation of Agriculture, where I will be the homeboy in the firing pan with my policies, which may be countercultural.
Well, very good. So, John, I want to thank you for running for the Christian Heritage Party. I was able to spend a day in Montreal in Notre-Dame-de-Grâce with our other by-election candidate, Yves Gilbert, and that was a treat. And just so happened that my tour this time brought us to your riding as well, right in the middle of the by-election. We had this meeting today, this conference. It was an excellent conference. And I want to thank you for running for the Christian Heritage Party.
Yeah. Take care.
Take care.